I'm going to throw my gum away, Andy.
Okay.
It's rude to podcast with gum, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be like that lovely woman behind Donald Trump.
That was good. Did that make the news?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I was a little surprised that it didn't.
What are we going to do today? And are we going to continue to lie to the American
people? No, this is it. I can't do it anymore. We have to come clean.
This is the Red Eye Podcast. What does it mean, Andy? What does the Red Eye Podcast mean?
Well, I guess you're going to find out.
Yeah.
Which is a way of saying this is my last Red Eye Podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the real news.
That is the real news.
I kind of knew it was coming. I knew something was coming.
Sure.
Because we knew.
Well, the tensions between us have been, they've been growing.
Has it been visible?
I think so.
When I come visit? But we went out to a social event the other night, which we probably want to talk about because I have not said a word about it since I was there.
I haven't either.
It was thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah,
but what's the news? What can you say? Can you say things? Can you say everything?
Can you say half of it? That this is my last week at Fox.
Wow. but I knew that. Okay,
you knew that.
Yeah. I'll confess what I knew.
Sure,
I knew that you were exploring opportunities for some time that you couldn't speak about.
Right.
You know. So.
Right. This is my last week, and more info on what's next in the coming week or two, whatever, but not for right now.
Uh-huh.
And
it's really something, right?
I think when invariably this will be written up by every media site, I think, because this is huge news.
It is huge.
It's
going to start with Newsmax, then it's going to go to Mediaite.
Right, right. No, I mean, they've been carefully tracking my career for the past 10 years, so.
I don't know why Newsmax.
But no, it's been a 10-year run.
10 years?
10 years, man. 10 years of Red Eye.
Holy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was fun. I have some regrets, but I mostly have no regrets. but no, I'm leaving on. Everything was very amicable.
Yeah, you had to kind of take. You had to take care of all that when you decided. It was really shortly after. Am I right that shortly after Red Eye was canceled, you. Maybe not made a decision, but started to entertain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. No, I think that's absolutely right. It's time for a change. I mean, 10 years is – I think it's the longest I've ever been at the same place of employment.
What's your – okay, let's start at the – I mean, you get out of Columbia and what is it? Starts at the military right there?
Well, it started at the military and then back to Columbia to finish.
Okay.
Then it was 3 years at NBC News in Washington.
Holy moly. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You were mainstream media.
I was.
You were the
– I was the MSM.
Was there any lamestream back then or
– No. There was only mainstream back then. It was just the media. But I worked with Pete Williams covering the Supreme Court and the Justice Department, and Pete's just the best. Then I was a publicist for the Oscars.
That's right.
Then I worked at.
How do you get that though? From NBC News.
A girl that I dated at NBC. She was from California. She moved back to LA, and we stayed friends. And she somehow got herself connected with the head of communications at the Academy, the Motion Picture Academy. And I was going to say emailed me. I'm not even sure there was an email back then, so it might have been. No, I think there was. But she said, look, they bring on publicists every year for the awards for like 4 or 5 months. She said, I think you'd be great at this. And she knew I loved movies, and I'd always sort of entertained the notion of maybe moving
to LA.
That's right.
She heard a lot of your movie talk.
Yes, yes. Which is probably why we stopped dating.
She was like, I can't deal with this guy, but he would be great for somebody else.
Right. So I applied and they, either wrote me back or called me back and said, look, we'd love to interview you, but we're not, we can't pay to fly you out to L.A. So if you want to pay, sure. Mm-hmm. So I flew out to L.A.
Yeah.
interviewed.
Did you say, I have to be there anyway? Did you, like, use that? You know what? I'm going to be.
I probably said something like that. I don't remember, but yeah. I probably was like, oh, I was planning on being out there on such and such dates anyway, if those dates are good for you.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So I flew out, interviewed, went and flew back to D.C. And a couple weeks or months later, said, hey, we'd love to have you. So I basically – I moved across the country for a five-month gig with just the hope that it would turn into something else, which it kind of did because while I was there, I met the guy who was at that time the head of communications for the Directors Guild.
And, DGA.
And we – you know, he was working with Gil Cates, who was the producer of the Oscar telecast.
Mm-hmm.
And Gil Cates was also a DGA big shot. He was always a high-ranking officer. So this other guy said to me he said, look, I'm looking to beef up the communications department at the DGA, and I think you'd be great. Why don't you, you know, come on board? So I interviewed for that, got that, and ended up working at the Directors Guild for 6 years as an executive there.
In L.A.?
In L.A.,
yeah.
Yeah. Then I left there, played in a band for 3 years, and then came back to New York.
Interesting. So DGA was much more extensive than the Oscars, but I always think of that as your LA gig.
Right. Well, the Oscars gig was 5 months, and I mean, I'm not a toot my own horn person. They said, hey, you're more than welcome to come back next year. Yeah, we'd love to have you again. But they didn't have any full time positions because there really were only two in the communications department, and they were obviously both taken.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like. So my first thought was, well, maybe if I could find it, you know, be one of those – a freelance type thing, find another gig that's 5 months long, do that, and then go back to the Oscars. But the DGA possibility happened, and it was a full-time job with, you know, benefits and all that stuff. And I was like, well, I can't pass this up. But I would go back. I went to probably 6 or 7 Oscar shows. And I would go back. I would – even when I worked at the DGA, I would take vacation like the week of the Oscars, and I would go and the Oscars – I would go like help them on the red carpet work, you know, help them work the red carpet, set it up, get everything going. Because it was a great group of people and I really liked working with them.
And then you sat in the Oscars watching the
and
show.
And then they were nice enough. They would start give – they. I would, was able to get tickets. They were really, again, super nice people. I was able to get my parents to go see a show. I was able to get my sister and her husband. I was able to take girlfriends, whatever. And,
that's like the ultimate date, right?
Yeah. So it was.
They don't even have to like you, Andy. Who knows if they even want to.
Usually, some years it was the only date I had. it was a fantastic experience. I mean, I have to say, sitting in the audience for the Oscars is unbelievably boring.
It is.
Well, it's just it's long.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there for the – I was in the audience for the year Titanic won, which I think set the record for the longest show. Uh-huh. It was like 4.5 hours or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then King of the World. Yeah. I'm King of the World.
And it was just – I mean, you're starving.
Yeah.
And
do they have cocktails? Is a bar in the lobby?
There is. And things are different now because it's at the theater that they – you know, that they now have at Hollywood and Highland.
Mm-hmm.
The Kodak Theater. But like when I – the year I worked there, it was at the Shrine Auditorium. And it for a while, it rotated between that and the place downtown. I'm blanking on the name. And it would rotate. And now that they're at the Kodiak, which may have a new name now for all I know, they have sort of – everything is set every year, which is kind of great for the people running the show. But yeah, you would go to the bar. I mean, I had great experiences being at the – if you would just walk out to the bar and just being surrounded, you know, just weird stars around you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I may have told the story before, but this was I was looking for some place to smoke back in the day, and it was hard to find a place. And I finally found what I thought was an okay place to smoke, and I'm smoking. And all of a sudden I hear this very cultured British voice behind me go, "You can't smoke here," I've been told. And I turn around and it's Ian McKellen.
Because he wanted to smoke, right?
No, yeah. He was looking for a place to light. Well, I guess I can't say the word he used for a cigarette because the British word for cigarette is something we don't say here in America.
Right, right. Do they still say it?
At the time he did. Yeah. Maybe it was okay for him to say it.
Yeah, I think he can say anything.
Well, I mean,
point.
For other reasons. Yeah. But the young man he was with didn't seem to mind.
Right.
Let me put it that way.
Yes.
But so it's like you get weird little memories like that.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience. And then I, you know, ended up on Fox News with Greg Gutfeld and Bill Schultz at 3 in the morning.
How weird is that? I mean,
made no sense whatsoever.
But you, I think you even said this in a recent podcast, or else you were telling me that you didn't. You met Greg like on TV. Like you never really met him.
I met Greg online.
Online, but yeah. I mean that's what I mean. That you never met.
We had never met in person
until
right.
you were hired to do Red Eye.
Right, or until he was flying into New York from England to meet with people about the possibility of doing Red Eye, and he said, "Hey, you should come along."
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, and then that was back in, I guess that was 2006, 2007, whatever that was, and then the next February is when it launched.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, like I said, it was a great run here, and I am grateful for all of it, and I'm not leaving on bad terms or anything like that. So there you have it. Anyway, I gotta go.
You gotta. Well, you do have things, right?
No, I'm good.
You're gonna do radio tonight, but then you get some other stuff.
I'm doing
going
radio
on.
Tonight, and I'm doing Kennedy tonight.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And so people are gonna be asking. They're gonna be all over online, being like, "Come on, we want some hints. Is it media or what can we say? Anything?"
I think I'm just gonna say nothing for now.
No, say nothing.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's more fun that way.
It is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun for me. People don't believe me though.
No, I know.
Because they say, "What's going on with Andy?" And I say, "Andy's gonna tell you. Don't worry."
Right.
You know.
Well, I haven't. I mean, and I haven't told you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it anything for sure yet. But mm-hmm. B, I sort of don't want to tell you because I don't want to put you in the position of knowing, and then when people ask you, feeling like you have to tell them.
Right.
So I'm keeping this one for me. This mm-hmm. this one's for me.
So editorial director of the New York Times. I think that's what it is.
Well, they do need an ombudsman.
You know what? That's something you're highly qualified for.
Yeah. It's too bad they just eliminated that position.
They did?
Well, yeah, they had that public editor and then they got rid of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could use it.
And now they're being sued by Sarah Palin. So that worked out well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always got to have something going on there.
Yep. Yep.
So as far as the Red Eye podcast, we have – I'm going to try to keep it – what I need to do is when I start the radio show on July 10th, which the new lineup here is going to be Kilmeade in the morning, which he's already on. But he's rebranding the show as the Brian Kilmeade Show. It's now called Kilmeade and Friends. He doesn't have – he's sick of friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're more colleagues.
Sure, absolutely.
But he's just going at the Brian Kilmeade Show.
They're more servants and whatever.
Exactly. So he's going to noon as he has been. And then we've got Todd Starnes from 12 to 3, the power of Starnes.
Yes.
Although they're not calling it that.
What a missed opportunity.
I pushed for it.
Yeah.
But they went with – The Todd Starnes Show.
Wow.
And then
So they're not even using that as the theme song?
No, they're not.
I don't.
He's got his own thing going on.
This is why I'm leaving.
I mean,
sick of this.
That's the thing. So then I'm coming up. I'm following Todd Starnes. I told you it would happen.
Absolutely.
Ever since, you know, the power of Starnes came out of I was always mentioning Todd in the morning meeting or morning meeting.
Right.
It was a 2 o'clock meeting.
2 o'clock morning meeting.
Yeah. I was always saying, what's Todd got today for us? You know, because I always wanted Todd's, he's got the message from the heartland every day. And I always wanted to know what he was saying because, I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'd be plagiarizing the guy anyway.
Sure.
Without even hearing him.
Right.
I didn't want my monologue to be overlapping with something better that Todd was saying in a better way.
Right.
And I wanted his good connection to that audience. I wanted those good red state audiences, you know, and I was like, let's find something from – so I was always mentioning Todd, and you guys were like – you were sick of hearing from me. And you were like, Shalou has the power of Starnes. So we ended up, doing that, the power of Starnes. I didn't even get the joke until it's been on 3 times. I didn't understand the DeLorean. You know, it was an image – of Todd with the DeLorean in the background.
Right.
I didn't know why there was a DeLorean there. I didn't get the connection to the movie.
Oh, really?
Because I had forgotten that song.
Oh, okay.
What's The Power of Love?
Yeah.
I had forgotten The Power of Love was in that movie.
Gotcha.
And it took me a few viewings, and everyone was like, brilliant, love the graphics. And I was like, sometimes I didn't understand our graphics.
Sure.
So I let it go for a while, but, you know, it shows. The thing is, more often than not, I didn't get a lot of the jokes we did on the show.
Uh-huh.
I would just read them.
No, that was clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I didn't appreciate how you and Tim would slip in subversive, dirty messages into my reads.
Right.
And I would say them, and then people would say, oh, Shalou, he's edgier than I thought. And then I'm like, what do they mean? because I honestly don't get certain jokes that have to do with, you know, videos I'm not unwilling to watch,
right.
Things like that.
Sure.
So
I think most of the dirty ones that got slipped in were Tim.
Yes.
And a lot of the nerdy ones that got slipped in were me.
Uh-huh.
But that's not a hard and fast rule because Tim also a nerd. Uh-huh. So he definitely slipped in some nerd ones. But
white and nerdy.
Yeah. But Tim would often – I don't want to sort of digress. But Tim would often email me jokes that he was like, well, do you think I can put this in the script? And I would read it and crack up and then just type back no.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, we can't do that.
You can't do it?
No.
Yeah. But something slipped in. And you know what? In addition – I don't even understand my own ad-libs because I would say things that were not in the script.
Mm.
Sometimes, you know, whoever, if it was – I would just make a remark to Carly or I would just say something. And then after the show, CJ would be like, no, that's definitely coming out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or Ben or, you know, right. Ben Stickney. But sometimes I would see CJ and he would be laughing. He'd laugh at my comment and
right.
he'd be like, we definitely took that out.
I'm yeah.
like, why? Would you take it out? I mean, I'm talking about – it was a joke about sunburn. Like I didn't know it was a
right.
sexual reference. For
right.
me, it was, you know, about SPF. I don't know. I don't know the terms. So there's actually a thing in my book about that in my high school show. I used a dirty joke in my high school show
uh-huh.
and didn't understand that. And it's a – I forget what the chapter's called. But
did you write the joke?
No. It was given to me by Ms. Dyer, faculty advisor.
It was given to you by a faculty advisor?
Yes.
And it was a dirty joke?
It was a dirty joke. But the thing is, I don't know why she – it was in the 80s. You know, things – you could get kind of racy back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you could certainly do ethnic humor with more
– oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But there was something about – for people who are going to read the book, I'm going to leave it as a surprise because it's I don't want to tell the joke because it's revealed later on
right.
that it was a mangled Rodney Dangerfield joke, and I did it and I didn't understand the meaning of it. It caused a big controversy. So mm-hmm. The beginnings of my stand-up career came from creating an edgy persona at my high school, undeserved.
Sure.
So I've been riding that wave for a long time. But I think the plans are this. We've got the Tom Shalhoub show. Again, not the most creatively titled
right,
show.
Right.
But it has all the necessary information in it.
Yes.
It's my name.
It's your name. It tells the people that it is a show.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's going to be it's very exciting. It's national radio. It's coast to coast.
Yeah.
It's the whole deal.
Yeah.
It's got radio stations. We got apps, you know, whatever. I mean, just people listening to mm-hmm. it everywhere. So, you know, it's like what we've been doing at night. But
absolutely.
We're going to be doing it now 3 to 6.
Right.
Okay. And it's going to be all sorts of guests.
Now, you're not going to be able to be as racy from 3 to 6, I think, as you were from 6 to 9.
I mean, I guess that's...
So you're going to need to pull back on that.
We will... You know, we're going to leave that to standards and practices.
Sure.
Because there's a button.
Uh-huh.
There's a kill button, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We've had to use it occasionally.
Yes, we have.
And so I think it's going to be... But, you know, I think, you know, PG-13 is usually as far as I go anyway.
Sure.
But I've asked Greg. Hopefully he'll do my first... I get, you know, trying to get my good gets for the first week. And... but it remains to be seen if people are asking, hey, is Andy going to come back and do
right.
the podcast?
It remains
to be seen, and it may not be
right.
something that will be able to be happening, right?
Right.
But what I'm going to do
is – it won't be something that will be able to happen.
Okay. If yeah.
Let's,
okay.
Yeah.
So it looks like Andy won't be – it yeah. really will. And the thing is, it's like happened with Joanne. When she left there, like, are you going to come back and do the show? And she's like, I think you kind of have to have clean breaks
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of just hanging around or coming back. So
– yeah.
The show is going to be – I want a podcast every day because mm-hmm. it's a radio show. And so I was talking to all the radio guys and I'm like, come, we got to podcast this thing. So we're going to do an hour a day. So it's a 3-hour show. We're going to put out that free podcast every day. And then for people who want the premium podcast, who want to listen to it anytime, they can subscribe because we have premium podcasts on here.
Right.
And then for the rest of the crowd, there's ways to listen to it on SiriusXM. We got the TuneIn app. Mm. We got, you know, all that stuff. So
just when you say podcast, the podcast will be an hour of the radio show.
Yes.
So it will not be the Red Eye podcast.
It will not. We're going to change it to the Tom Shalhoub show,
okay.
just like we did. And they've already started. Social media has already started turning the pages over. Uh-huh. So it was exciting to see the new name up there and to lose 2,000 fans. Unliked.
Wait, seriously?
Well, it was like, you know, there's like a, you know, the Red Eye page.
Right.
It, you know, it's a little bit of trauma people going through. We had Red Eye as a TV show.
Sure.
And like, I'm fans of the TV show.
Right.
And then we switched it to the Red Eye podcast with Tom and Andy.
Right.
And, you know, we lost some people there. They're like, you know, some people just don't – they don't want to hear the word podcast. They didn't want to
– Sure.
They didn't want to hear. So – but then when it became the Tom Shalhoub show, so there was probably some people traumatized who were like, enough with the changes.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then we
right.
also got a lot of likes as well
uh-huh.
because I posted, hey, my new show.
Right.
Also, as a kind of a bit of a provocation to the people on the page, my first post on the Tom Shalhoub show was me on Colbert.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of people – I don't know if you know this, Andy, but there's a lot of Fox News viewers. They don't love Colbert.
You know, I don't have hard numbers in front of me, but I'm not. This is not the most shocked I've ever been in my life.
So, I posted a video, and so it was interesting. That might have got some people. You know, there were some people who actually said, "I'm leaving this page forever because you were on Colbert."
Seriously?
Oh, Andy, you won't believe it.
Wow.
I'll just read a couple of the comments here. Why did you do that stupid show? Why do you go on that stupid hack show? What WTH are you doing on Colbert? And each one I was answering, I was saying, well, maybe it's the, you know, the millions of viewers that I was trying to reach.
Right.
That's my job, you know?
Sure.
It's like you – it's a TV show.
Yeah.
It's
– Yeah.
It's no small feat.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
We got a pretty good cable operation here.
Absolutely.
But I'm not going to sneeze at CBS
no.
Late Show, right?
No.
Plus, I know Stephen Colbert, and believe it or not, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's like he was great to work with at
well,
Comedy Central.
Now no one's going to listen to this podcast.
I mean,
again,
the thing
which,
is
– obviously, wait, I just realized I don't care.
You do not care.
Keep talking about Colbert.
Exactly. He's going to go – Andy's going to go work for CBS News anyway. why would anyone go on Colbert show? These are the – you know, he is so disrespectful that it's just wrong. And then I answered, I guess, trying to win friends and influence people. But if that doesn't work, I guess I'll go into a cave. I'm trying to put sunshine on this thing.
Sure.
Tom, you're a funny guy, but why would you go on that goofball Colbert show? I kind of like that goofball. At least it wasn't the profanity that most people were using.
Yeah.
I said it may have been to communicate my message to millions of people. That's that's the only answer I have for people. But
yeah.
It's also because I worked with him. It was so exciting to get called to do the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. It was in the Ed Sullivan's theater, the old Letterman theater.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to do Letterman.
Right.
Of course, every comedian wants to do stand-up on Letterman.
Right.
It never happened for me. So there I was walking out on the stage of the Ed Sullivan Theater where the Beatles performed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then sitting down and kind of going, you know, with Colbert, he was making a little kind of poking fun of Fox News or the idea that I went from The Daily Show to Fox News. He thought that was kind of funny.
Right.
And I thought it was great banter. I thought it was a good good way to go in there and introduce myself to a whole new audience.
Yeah.
Plug the book.
Yeah.
And have a lot of fun.
No, look, I watched it.
You did, yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought it was great. The obvious edit in the middle of it.
You saw it? Okay.
Oh, it was so jarring.
Well, but, we can reveal what that was.
I mean, I assumed it was an edit for time.
Yes, yes. And also maybe a little – an edit for time, but then there – why cut that out? Maybe because – of a concern from Stephen or the producer that they that Stephen was misunderstood, but this is how it went. We talked about you mentioned you saw the mention of Red Eye. He said,
yep,
"Oh, and you were on that show, Red Eye,
right?" Which he thought was on from like 1 to 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
or something like
exactly.
That, which was interesting.
And maybe he was confused because I had mentioned the new radio show
right.
to the producer that's
right.
3 hours
yeah.
long. And
that, you know, no, I figured that's what it was.
I was hoping to get a plug in for Red Eye, and now it's a new radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he had lots of information in his head, and everything's done on the fly, and
right.
he's back from Russia, and it's all very you know so. So he said, that must have been tough doing Red Eye. And he says, I don't know if I could do that the way you did that show, Red Eye, and you had no audience. It's hard to be funny with no audience. And then I kind of did a double take. And I kind of knew what he meant, but
right.
the way he
no
phrased
live
it.
Audience
yes.
is what he meant, yes.
So I turned to his audience and I said, well, Stephen, some people were watching. And
right.
then the audience laughed, you know?
Right.
Because I'm always trying to get the studio audience to crack
of course.
Up. Because it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So and then he took my kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, defense of the show. He was like, I didn't mean to say it that way. So he was actually sincerely apologizing for insulting the fact that I had no audience.
Right.
And so we patched that up. And then I said, but Red Eye was a great experience. And I went on to say how great it was to be able to do Red Eye. And then I said, and hopefully I'm going to bring that same energy to my new radio show, which starts July 10th. And then he said, okay, to the book.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Which is where they cut to.
Yes. So you could see that obvious cut. And people were like, what got cut out? It was that exchange. It was that I actually loved that take because it was an example to kind of like because after the show, you know, my manager was backstage and she was like, oh, that was so funny the way that you and Steven like misunderstood each other.
Right.
And I said, I think I knew what he was doing, but it's like, you know, you try to make a comic moment out of it.
Of course.
Anyway, so we played it up and it was fun. And so I thought that would be a great moment. So I was disappointed that didn't make it.
Okay.
Plus being able to say like, oh, I loved Red Eye. It was like throwing in another like how much
I
love Red Eye.
Sure.
So, but yeah, you know, you cut things down and otherwise, you know, I thought it was great. And then he had a nice thing to say. He before the interview, he came over during the commercial and he said, hey, good to see you. And he was like, the last time I saw you, and it's so funny because I didn't know if he would even remember me from those days, because I would only see him occasionally in the building when we were doing the Daily Show. And the last time I saw him was on the corner of 53rd and 10th Avenue. And he was coming out of a deli and then he was like, what are you doing now? And I was like, I'm still going to work on the show, you know, as long as I can. But, you know, I was having less appearances on The Daily Show then because Jon Stewart was now the host.
Right.
Anyway, we just had a quick exchange and I said, well, I'm doing this play at Ars Nova Theater. I was doing something there. And he was like, OK, you know, and he left. OK, so it was a nice exchange. So he comes backstage during the band is playing and he's like, I think the last time I saw you was 53rd and 10th.
Wow.
About 17 years ago. And I'm like, I can't believe you remember that.
Man.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was pretty good.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I watched it and I thought you were great. I thought it was very good. And I noticed there was no mention at all of my name.
Yeah.
And then I saw the heavy cut and I was like, okay, he probably mentioned my name.
Yeah, there were two cuts, actually. I don't know if
cut out.
The other one was
very smooth.
But
now, having heard your story where you actually had a chance to lie and say that my name was brought up and you have so little respect for me that you wouldn't even do that. And this is why I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get out of here and never have to see you or hear your voice again. No, I went home after. Oh, I don't know if we have time to talk about the thing that we were at.
Oh, yes.
Monday night.
Oh, it was
I went home after that and I had DVR'd Colbert and I watched it and I thought it was very good. It's just that edit was unbelievable. Like, I think I might have out loud said something like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because it was so jarring.
Yeah. That's when he went for the book.
Yeah.
And I, although Andy, you know editing, I think a lot of people don't see those things.
Yeah, no, it's entirely possible that I only noticed it because of being on a TV show for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. People – well, I don't know if people notice – people sometimes notice the edits on Red Eye.
Yes. And oh, yeah.
Sometimes they – I don't think they did.
Sometimes we had no choice but
– Yeah, sometimes it was, you know, certain guests.
Yeah.
Would make it
when Andrew Schultz was talking, and then all of a sudden he wasn't talking anymore.
Right.
It was like, oh, I think something was edited out there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing we saw the other day was the Rich Voss 60th birthday roast.
Yes.
Bonnie put the whole thing together. Bonnie McFarland, one of our favorites. And I didn't know that you would be there, and Christine Cotta, our booker, the former Red Eye booker.
Mm.
And was there anyone else there from?
I don't think so. Well, you knew I was going to be there. We talked about it.
I did.
Yeah,
but
you just forgot.
Or I'm just, you know, sometimes I lie on this podcast.
Sure. no, but there were a ton of former Red Eye guests there.
Yeah.
Both on the stage in the crowd.
Yeah. And there was so many comics. I mean, it was like, you know, like I saw Gary Gulman and Nate Bargatze, you know, and Ryan Hamilton. And I was like, this is like a real, this is what you read about. Like, this is what.
Yeah.
Like, I think what comedians think comedians' lives are like we always go hang out at roasts and stuff and see each other when we rarely do.
Yeah, no, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, this is what that Showtime show should have been like.
Yes, yes.
Because it had that, it was a very comedians crowd.
Yeah.
And, I'm trying to think who else. I mean, it was just there were just
Anthony was there. All the
Kumi was there. Tom Cotter.
Yeah.
Dave Smith. I saw Sam Morril. Dan Soder was there.
I didn't see Soder.
I only saw him when they sort of recognized him from the stage, but I didn't. I don't know if he had a split to do a I did because I looked for him afterwards, but I couldn't find him.
Yeah.
But it was just a ton of comedians, and it was one of the funniest, most brutal.
I think it was the funniest show I've ever seen.
Things I've ever seen in my life.
I don't think I've seen anything funnier. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and I was trying to think how much of that could be broadcast.
I mean, none.
And I think maybe 10 seconds of tops could be broadcast. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a PC nightmare.
Yes.
Is what it was.
Absolutely.
Just nothing was off limits. I mean, all the comedians on stage are all either actual good friends or they've known each other for 20 years professionally or whatever. So it was just
so high respect value.
Yeah. So it was just and you know, you go into these things with there's no – nothing's off limits. It's not – you know, the Comedy Central roast, which I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are – you know, my understanding is there are – like the guests will say, no, you can't – you can't talk about this. There was none of that.
None of that.
Here.
I mean, it went to – I mean, it wasn't just race and ethnicity.
No.
It was like –
though there was plenty of that.
there was plenty. But it went to – it was death and disease.
Yes, and illnesses. And,
yes.
You know, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Suicide
yep.
and I mean
it yep. was yep. It was unbelievable.
But hilarious and I mean the thing is those guys are so talented. You know when they ask me when Bonnie – because you don't know how big these events are going to be.
Right.
So Bonnie says, hey, can you come to Rich's 60th anniversary roast? And I was like, absolutely. I said, I'm not roasting. And she was like, of course you're. Like, it's like, we're not going to ask you. Like, how will you, you know? But it was my first thought. Like, I want to make sure that she's, you know, I'm
not.
No,
asked, absolutely.
Because it's
course.
Not my forte.
Right.
But of course, she was like, of course it's not your forte.
Yeah.
Of course, we would never ask
right.
you. So the.
But it was Bobby Kelly, Robert Kelly. It was Joe DeRosa.
Amazing. DeRosa.
Jim Florentine, who was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Unbelievably funny after probably getting the worst brunt of
yes,
jokes.
Yes, absolutely. And then it was Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn was so – and I don't – as it went on, I was like, it's – someone's going to fail here. It's going to start to go downhill because Norton started off.
And he was great from the start.
Yes.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, why would you start with Norton?
Yeah. I guess it's the
– but everyone else is so good too that it, you can – that like it was amazing that they could afford to start with someone as funny as Norton.
Yes. Luis J. Gomez, hilarious.
Luis Gomez, yep.
Unafraid to be – I mean he said a few things that were outrageous.
Yes.
I mean yes. It just goes without saying.
It was unbelievable.
And then who are we forgetting?
Judy Gold.
Judy Gold was hilarious. I mean I told her afterwards I was like – because she kept defending herself during the thing. Like, you know – and but that's part of her thing.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah.
And it was hilarious. And,
and Big J. Oakerson.
Big J. Oakerson, yes. But the beating which Judy took in great spirits on the thing
Worth
it. It was worth the whole thing, you know?
Yep.
And and then Big J closed it. And as we're going along, I'm like, Big J's going to close it?
I know. That was my thought, too.
Yeah. And then he gets up and destroys
again. Yeah, he was great.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So for people who are like, it's just going to be frustrated. They're going to be like, why can't I see? But they did tape it, didn't they?
There were cameras there. I don't know what they were from, if it was just
they
for
the
Bonnie
thing
and
was,
Rich
yes,
or
the,
what?
Well, the funny thing was they were – you know, I think Colin was giving them grief about it because he was like, you told me this was not going to be – you know, this wasn't for anything.
Yeah.
But so they were kind of accusing them of like, are you guys going to try to sell this to Netflix or something? Which if they did, it would be – amazing, but I don't know.
I'm also wondering in this day and age if it would be such a good idea.
Yeah. I mean it's it was just full of career ending things.
Yeah.
Although if you're in the
– although I don't think for that group that's true because they do sort of thrive on that.
Yes. I mean like the Legion of Skanks, what are you going to do to them?
Right.
You
exactly.
can't end their career. They have their own career.
Yeah.
But yeah, just so exciting.
Also, it's like – it's a roast, dummy.
It's
like,
a roast,
If you have a problem with it, don't be watching a roast. But I do think there are people who are used to – like the Comedy Central roasts, which again are often incredibly funny.
Yeah.
They sort of push the envelope, but they don't you know, they don't lick the envelope closed, put it in the mailbox and send it away.
Right.
And this was – I mean this was that on – I don't want to say on steroids is such a hack phrase, but I don't know how else to say it.
Yes.
It just was – it was unbelievable.
So many comics though, it's like comics and industry. And then there wasn't that much room for other people. But for the comedy nerds who got in there, like the kind of, you know, the Norton fans and
right.
the, you know, the comedy nerds.
Yeah.
It must have been like the greatest night of their life.
It really had to have been, yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I mean,
it was for me.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
a comedian, I became a total comedy
yeah,
nerd that
no,
night.
Yeah, definitely. And a bunch of – there were a bunch of Red Eye fans. We heard from a bunch of people there.
Yes.
You know, were sucks. The show is gone.
Yes.
Which is – you know, it's always nice to see that.
It is.
So,
that some guy
cool.
gave me his podcast. He was like, I started my podcast because I was a fan of Red Eye and I wanted to do a little bit of that. And it was called Guys – if the guy's listening, email me because he was like – he gave me his podcast. And it was like Dudes Talking or Guys, you know – Guys Up in Arms or whatever the name of it was. Something about guys. I forgot it. And I was like, I'll remember. I'll download it.
Right.
But now I don't know where it is. So if he knows, where's your podcast? Email us. So you guys, on this feed, we are going to be – I'm going to like convert you guys into the Daily Radio Show podcast, which may annoy you because it's going to be like a radio show. But it'll be fun because it's the Tom Shalhoub Show.
Right. So feel free to unsubscribe, I think, is what we're saying here.
We're going to get a bunch of unsubscribes because they want the Tom and Andy banter. They thrive on it.
Well, and also, I mean, it was once a week.
Yes.
And as opposed – so you may get people who unsubscribe just because they don't want it every day.
Yes. Yes.
So there may be some of that. You may get people who are – wholly uninterested in hearing you without me.
That's that. You know what? So. There's definitely those people do exist. But the for those who
like my mom, I think forget her.
She's
I think she's not going to stick around.
Well, I don't know. She's. I'll talk to her.
Okay.
But the
I'm now in my head trying to picture. Even how to explain to my mom how to listen to a podcast. Because I remember I tried once when I told her about this.
Yes.
And I quickly gave up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, like Tim Diamond's mom used to listen to it.
She did, yeah.
And my mom does. She's very tech savvy. She's got like Stitcher.
Really?
She does all the latest
things. That's
fantastic. Yeah, yeah. She knows all the – she has the things before I have them. Like if there's like an Instagram filter which turns video backwards and forwards, she installs it. But the – so for the people listening, I'm going to start with the daily podcast of the show. And then I want to move into also a weekly podcast where I interview someone interesting and we have – and it's more like this podcast where we just talk. But because I'm going to be busy doing the show, I want to like start that. So even for those people, maybe they can stay subscribed and then we're going to spin off another weekly one too that
gotcha.
I think is going to be
gotcha.
More conversational.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Exactly. So there it is, Andy.
All right.
What – the heck can people? I mean, they got to stay in touch with you, right? You still got the thing is though, Andy, you're not that accessible to the world.
No, I mean I'm on Twitter, but
very aloof,
very
aloof on Twitter.
Just kind of mind my own business.
Yes,
don't bother me, I won't bother you.
Yeah, but they'll know where you are.
They'll know where I am. I'll for a day or two. I'll be a little less aloof.
Yes.
On Twitter.
Yeah,
and then
so follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, and other than that, I guess that's it.
That's it, Andy.
I don't know. I don't know what's left to say. I would like to, we did this when Red Eye went off the air, but I would like to again thank all the fans of both Red Eye the show and this podcast and the people, I guess we can talk about it on the radio show tonight, but the people who have been listening on the radio.
That's it. Andy, just like I'm leaving. I'm going to let you say goodbye, Andy.
No.
Andy's signing off.
All right, hold on. Tom is leaving. I am so happy to get away from him. It is unbelievable. And hopefully he won't listen to this. But I don't have really anything else to say. Tom did actually leave. But thank you guys for everything. And you'll know pretty soon, I think, where I'm going to be next. So hopefully you'll follow along. That's it. This is the end of the Red Eye podcast.